We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
Gentlemen, to World Championship Wrestling in just a few moments. I'm going to invite the heavyweight champion of the world, Sting, to come out here to the ring. But before we do, we've already heard from the Black Scorpion once in our first hour, but let's hear these comments from the mysterious Black Scorpion.
I know, Sting, that it must be difficult for you to visualize an opponent that you know nothing about. I've given you clues, and you still can't figure out who the Black Scorpion is. But you've already seen what I'm capable of. So remember, when you meet me in the ring, I will be going for you, for your life. Get ready, Sting. I'm coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming the World Championship Wrestling here on TBS, the heavyweight championship of the world, Sting! ladies and gentlemen, to spend a few moments with a heavyweight champion of the world. I know the Black Scorpion is weighing heavily on your mind, but you have a date with destiny on October the 27th, Halloween Havoc, when you will wrestle Sid Vicious for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Rossi, as if I don't have enough on my mind already, thinking about the Black Scorpion and now the almighty Sid Vicious wants a piece of me for the world title, Rossi.
Well, as a matter of fact,
speaking of the devil, speaking.
Hey, wait a minute now. Hold on. Let's keep this civil.
Hey, Sid, we don't have to wait till Halloween Havoc. We can do it now.
Come on now. We don't do it now. Hold on here. Hold on here.
Let's do it now. You want to hop up. Hop up.
Let's keep our composure and finish the interview.
Get up here. We don't have to wait, Sid. We can do it now.
Listen, we don't. Let's wait here. Hold on.
Shoot off your mouth in the ring.
Hold on here. Hold on.
Hey, wait a minute. Sting. There's the Black Scorpion.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode. I am your host, JP Chompaz, from the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. Of course, joining me is the man who was the former ECW and WCW Tag Team Champion. He dominated the Florida ranks for many years. He, of course, is one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business. The Games Master, the Taskmaster, the Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing very well, JP. Just came back from Atlanta. I told you I did a thing for $7 promotion, the Rise and Fall of WCW.
Awesome. How did that go? How was it?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. What were we going to say?
I flew there and flew back, and I worked. So it was good.
I was going to say, I'm sure that was an interesting experience, reliving the rise and fall of WCW again.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk more about the project, like about where it's going to air and things like that?
No, because they don't have a title for it yet. But it'll be on Vice. I can mention that.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be part of, like, basically what they've done with Dark Side of the Ring and the other stuff that they've done.
Right. We can say it's going to be on Vice to watch out for the new series, okay?
Very cool. I like that. The Rise and Fall of WCW. I feel like, I know it's going to be interesting to see them tackle that again, because I feel like a lot of people have different opinions on, why it failed and right. Why it was successful to begin with.
Right.
Do you know who else they interviewed for it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, but can't tell anybody else. Eric, Kevin Nash, Neil Pruitt, and myself.
Nice. That's a good crew there.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, this is the Rock's company. They're talking about that. Is The Rock going to be involved at all, as far as you know?
Not as far as I know, but maybe the Polynesian Pro Wrestling.
I'm just thinking from, like, the other perspective, like, he's kind of one of the reasons why you guys were losing. You know what I mean? Like, once he started hitting the popularity, obviously with Stone Cold Steve Austin, but once he started hitting his stride, it's kind of another reason why WWE was headed downstream.
Yeah, well, we mentioned Austin. We haven't mentioned Rock yet.
Oh, okay. Will you be filming more stuff?
Yes.
Wow, nice. So this is going to be a whole series here.
Yes.
Oh, okay, nice. I like that.
Yeah. Should be good.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of good wrestling content out there from Vice, which they usually have, which is nice.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think about Punker? I know we had been talking for weeks about will he or won't he. What did you think about it? Were you surprised?
No, but they did it completely right, like, you know, they do in movies. Well, you know, sequel to, you know what I mean? Because when they were going off the air, it looked like the show was over, then they put CM Punk, you know?
Yep.
Thought it was brilliant.
Man, me and my buddy were saying the same exact thing. We're like, man, we like got up, we thought the show was over, and you just hear like a loud roar, because I literally was leaving to go walk to the bathroom. I was going right in the bathroom, and because they did the sign off, so I thought it was over. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I heard that. I had to run back. I'm like, what the hell was that, like, explosion? I heard like a roar.
Right.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty well done.
It was very well done.
It actually kind of reminded me a little bit of Havoc 96 a little bit when Piper shows up, because Shivani wraps up the show. It's over. And then it's like, wait, what the hell? There's bagpipes playing. What the hell? And then Piper comes out. It's like, that's kind of where I got the vibe. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, you think the show's over. It's like, holy shit, one of the biggest stars you could get shows up.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Did you think that was one of the loudest ovations you've heard?
The only louder one was Sammy.
Oh, yeah, in Canada.
Yeah.
That was pretty shocking. I know some people thought they knew or said they figured Punk would show up, but I thought I thought the way they did it was pretty surprising, because you thought the show was over.
Yeah. I thought they did an incredible job. Hunter's doing an incredible job.
You think he's coming into his own as a booker?
Absolutely.
When you see what he's doing now, like, do you think that's literally experience? I mean, it's not learning on the job per se, but do you think that he has more to learn? Like, what do you think about his progression as a booker?
He had 20 years to sit under the learning tree with Vince, and he absorbed everything, you know? I think he did a hell of a job, and I think that their roster now is good, or maybe even better than the Attitude Era.
Wow, really? You think so?
Yeah. I mean, Punk, and then Randy coming back, and McIntyre, and Rollins, and they got Logan in there, and don't forget Dominic, how hot he's getting, Kevin Owens, the Bloodline, the girls are fabulous. He's doing an incredible job, if you ask me.
Obviously, Roman Reigns is at the top of the mountain. But, yeah, there's so many guys now, right? You throw Punk and Orton into the mix. They have a ton of top talent.
Yeah, to go against Roman.
It looks like Orton will get the first crack at him, but it's interesting. Punk, in his promo, was talking about the wise man. The wise man kept mentioning the wise man. So obviously the wise man is Paul Heyman, and obviously Heyman and him have history. So that'll be interesting when Roman and Punk get together.
Yes, it will be.
Would you do Punk versus Roman at WrestleMania? Would you do it beforehand? Like, what? How would you handle Punk?
You know, this is a funny thing to say. They get so much good talent. I mean, we all thought, I haven't heard any more about The Rock, have you?
Not lately, no.
I mean, imagine if he came back and Rock did a main event with, who knows, Dustin, Cody rather, McIntyre, Punk, whoever. I mean, they can't lose. These two nights are going to be huge.
Pretty crazy. Like, if you look at it, easily could have eight guys being, obviously besides Roman, eight guys like in the main event picture, maybe more. It's like, wow, it's like pretty crazy to think like Orton is going to, you know, have his main event probably Royal Rumble against Randy, but it could be Punk, could be Cody, could be The Rock. I mean, there's so many options.
Yeah. They're doing, I mean, I like the idea, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Would you do Punk versus Roman, though, or would you wait for, like, SummerSlam or something for that?
I think I'd wait again. I hate to see him just come in and win the belt. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It would actually, I believe, hurt their belt. He was their build as the real world champion, and do you want him to come back and take the title the first night, you know, against them?
Yep.
There's so many ways to go.
It's crazy because let's say Rock does come back, then you got to do Rock Roman, but then you got Cody and Punk and Seth and Drew and even LA Knight, who's still super over. I mean, they've got a lot of top guys.
Like, that's like I said, it's the best, I think, all around. Best crew they've ever had, even better. Because from top to bottom, everybody's over. You know?
Big time. Do you think that's all Triple H, you know, like as far as putting these pieces together right now?
No, I don't think it's all Triple H, because I think people are giving him ideas and he's smart enough to listen, where before maybe Vince didn't want to change directions at all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Triple H just is open to suggestions. So,
WWE is hot. They're selling out house shows in towns I'd never even heard of. So, I mean, they're hot right now, big time.
Yeah.
So, as far as today and today's topic, we want to talk about Starrcade 1990, which was December 16th, St. Louis, Missouri, at the Kiel Auditorium. The attendance, pretty good, 7,200. The tagline, the collision course, and the pay-per-view buys, 165K, which is, you know, it's actually kind of up for you guys. So not bad right there. Not bad at all, 165K. But, you know, not great, obviously, comparatively to the WWF and what they would be doing. But not bad for you guys for a Starrcade.
No.
Just to talk about Pat O'Connor for a second, because the tournament that's on the show is based on Pat O'Connor. So August 16th, 1990, Pat O'Connor passed away. Obviously, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion for a very long time. He had a lot of training, a lot of booking, and you know, ton of history in the Kansas City territory. So while at the Kiel Auditorium in Missouri, obviously a lot of history in Kansas City. So in honor of Pat O'Connor, Starrcade held the Pat O'Connor Memorial International Cup, which is a tag team tournament, single elimination between eight teams, each representing a different country. The winner of the tournament was awarded a big trophy. You like that? A tournament at the Starrcade again.
What are you going to guys that you don't have in the main event? I think it would be spectacular. You could work a bunch of angles off of it. I was lucky enough. I worked Kansas City, which wasn't a great territory, but I was lucky that Pat took a liking to me by just me ribbing him. Like, he'd watch the shows, you know, Kansas City, and I'd sneak up behind him. I waist lock them, take them down. I say, and you were a world champion. And he'd say, you son of a bitch, and he chased me. And then he'd bring me to St. Louis to be his partner sometimes. So it was very, very that made your week going to St. Louis.
Oh, paid well, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you look at Pat O'Connor and you know, obviously naming the tournament after him, do you think a lot of the fans in 1990 were familiar with Pat O'Connor, or is that just something that you guys did to be respectful of the business?
I think we did it a little bit half and half. You got to realize Pat's name was still out there, former NWA champion, had a territory, was working St. Louis almost every show. So, you know, 20-something years have passed since his passing. So a lot of people have forgotten Pat, but this is a great way to memorize Pat. He was a great, great worker. Besides working with him, I got to see him up close. And when I was a kid, I saw him wrestle. And Tom Burke, you know who Tom Burke is?
Historian, right?
Yeah, he's probably the biggest, okay? And this is how, you know how I always talk about Paul Bowser?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I saw a match where when O'Connor was the NWA champion and he came in and lost to Killer Kowalski, who was the AWA champion. Tom Burke told me he had the clippings because he didn't believe that happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. I love those weird, like, title changes. Like, even Pat O'Connor, okay, he beats Dick Hutton. He's a champion for 440 days. I mean, he's champion for a decent amount of time. But, like, did he lose to Gene LaBelle? Like, there's always, like, these interesting little, like, you know, sidebars, like when Buddy Rogers beats him, Buddy loses to Bruno, then he wins it back, then he loses to Bo Brazil, then he wins it back, but none of them are recognized. It's so interesting when they do that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Bobo, you know, everybody talks about Sputnik Monroe help integrate pro wrestling, right?
Yep.
Well, he worked with Bobo quite a bit. Bobo beat him, I think it was in Newark. And, you know, Buddy went to leapfrog him, and he didn't get over. And Bobo was awarded the belt, but wouldn't take it because of the way he won. And, you know, the next show that O'Connor, Rogers wrestled in the Gardens was a tag match with him and Gorilla Monsoon. I think it was Rocker and Rogers beat Bruno in the tag match.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They always did those weird like switches, but then they wasn't a switch. It was like almost just for, I guess, for that live crowd that day.
Yeah.
And then they change it back, or then the guy would win it back, or then it was some sort of crazy finish.
They're hoping to have a rematch with Buddy and Bruno, but Buddy had heart problems and he couldn't make it. And then in Cleveland, that was not the WWF. Vince was starting a different company. I think it was called WWW. I'm not sure. And he lost that belt to Dory Dixon, another African American. So, and he did something similar with Sailor R. Thomas in St. Louis or Chicago, I can't remember which one, But Art Thomas had the bear hug on him, and they hit the ropes, and Buddy went over, and Rogers got one or a DQ when he was raising his hands to give up. So like you said, a lot of different type finishes to get guys over. But the guys, three guys Buddy put over were black guys.
Right, yeah, crazy. Especially at that point in time,
Yeah.
Buddy Rogers, gotta love him because he's a New Jersey guy as well. That's why I love him.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, the Pat O'Connor stuff, I like, and I like the tournament and everything else. But the other thing about Starrcade that I don't like, and you got to explain this, the Black Scorpion. So the main feud heading into this pay-per-view was basically Sting versus the Black Scorpion. Sting obviously beats Ric Flair at Great American Bash. He wins the NWA world title. He has a feud for the next couple months with Psycho Sid Vicious. Well, really just Sid Vicious at this point, but then, you know, he's got a little feud with Ric Flair, but the whole thing is August of 1990. We start seeing this Black Scorpion character. He's teasing that he's a member of Sting's past. He's kind of saying things. You almost think the way it's worded that it's like the Ultimate Warrior, just the stuff that he's saying, just like, oh, I'm from your past. I train with you. We, you know, we grew up in the business together. Like all this weird stuff, you know, is kind of, you know, intimating guys that are from Sting's past. It's just very intriguing to me. Where did the Black Scorpion come from? Whose idea is it? And was it Ole Anderson?
It was Ole Anderson's idea. But the reason Flair got in there, it was supposed to be Al Perez, and Al Perez didn't want to do the job. In fact, Al got fired because in St. Petersburg, he wouldn't put Rick over. And he said that was because of his, that was his hometown. I mean, and someday, I believe that he would have been the world champion.
Really?
Well, he had been the world champion in Texas. He beat all the boys.
But do you think that, I mean, no offense to Al Perez, but you think that he's a guy that can be telling Ric Flair he's not losing to him? You know what I mean?
No, that's why he got fired that night.
That's crazy. And he didn't want to feud with Sting either. Like he is under the hood at one point as the Black Scorpion when they go through this feud, but he didn't want a job to Sting as out, you know, in the end.
I guess that's what started to happen. That I was not really involved in that at that time. Not many people knew it was going to be Rick.
When you look at it, though, Al Perez, no offense. I mean, I like Al Perez as a, you know, decent wrestler and everything else, but he had no name cachet, no star power at this point whatsoever. It's not like the next year when you guys bring in the Phantom and it's Rick Rude. You know what I mean? This is Al Perez of all people.
Yeah, but you don't know what deals were being made. You know what I mean? In Texas, the boys, all three that were still alive, lost, or two, Kevin and Kerry, lost in Dallas against Perez and defeated the boys on a few occasions of rematches. So there might have been a deal made because Fritz, his TV at the time was the best.
I don't know. Well, but on a national scale, do you think that people even knew who Al Perez was?
No, but he Vince had at one time the Texas tape was going all over, and they went to Boston in a rainy fall night, similar to this. And they went to a stadium that was used once a year for a football game between South Boston and East Boston. A dilapidated stadium that drew $88,000. There was rumors at one time that they were going to hook up.
It's, I don't know, for some reason, I just can't see that being like anything as far as like, hey, it's Al Perez. Like people aren't really familiar because Sting does beat him, aka him as the Black Scorpion, at a show. So Sting beats him, but it's more of a house show type thing. But he does also defeat him at Clash of the Champions as well in a bit of a longer match, Clash of the Champions 12, which was, you know, the original Fall Brawl, the Mountain Madness, if you will. So he does beat him as the Black Scorpion at Clash of the Champions over the fall. So it's almost like, okay, where are we going with this? Like, what's like the plan here with Al Perez and Sting? Because it doesn't seem like that's going to be a Starrcade level main event.
Well, they did it on the Texas TV, which was the best produced TV in the country, even above Vince's at one time. So it took them a year to get Bob Backlund over on TV for a year. He just came in for one solid year. They could have maybe done that with Al Perez.
Now, he was in WWF in 1990 as well. Even up until July, he was in WWF. So does Ole think, okay, WWF got him from world class, then we're taking him from WWF. Is that his thinking too, that he thinks he's a star because he was in WWF?
That could have been. I didn't know Ole's thinking all the time, but Al Perez had everything going for him. He could talk. He had Gary Hart as a manager, one of the greatest managers of all times. He could have turned babyface up there with the Latino population. Who knows what could have happened. You know, they had Rocker as their main guy in the 50s. Then they had Pedro. Who knows? It took Vince a year to get Bob over. And he was just doing TVs, no house shows. So things could have happened.
But it's almost like, okay, Al Perez, Black Scorpion, I don't know about this. But if you actually look into it, of what they're hinting at as a fan, were you guys trying to tease that it was Ultimate Warrior, who was the WWF champion at this point? But were you actually trying to tease Warrior or no?
I don't know if Ole was, but if he was, it was the wrong thing to do. And that's why Rick ended up being the Black Scorpion that night.
Because you guys basically needed somebody, right? I mean, you needed a bigger name, right?
Well, think about this. Rick got the belt back. Would the attendance been bigger if it was announced Flair versus the Black Scorpion?
Maybe, yeah.
Would the house show, rather pay-per-views, be bigger?
Well, if they announced Sting versus Flair, I would think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you like Sting versus Black Scorpion just as a main event, let's say on the poster or on the paper, you know, promoting the pay-per-view? Do you like that? Hey, it's Sting versus a mystery guy.
No, I didn't.
So but, where were you? Where were you at this point?
I was not working. I was not wrestling, but I was working with Ole, but I didn't even know that Rick was going to win the belt back as the Black Scorpion.
Well, we'll get into it, but he loses this one. Then about a month later in New Jersey at a house show, he actually does get the belt back, but cementing the full heel turn and getting the belt back. But it's just so weird that the Black Scorpion, it felt very, I don't know, corny, I guess. I guess I could say would be the nicest way to put it. Like, this gimmick, did Ole really think this was like a cool gimmick?
He did all the talking for Al.
Yeah, right.
So he must have placed his money on Al. Or maybe I've heard him say that, you know, he wasn't a big Flair fan. Have you heard that?
Ole wasn't?
Yeah.
You know what's weird about that? He kind of was bringing up like the 70s, almost like he was thinking that Flair was like who he met in the 70s. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Hey, you know, we were the most over guys in this territory. You know, you're lower on the card. Like, he didn't realize Flair surpassed him.
Yep. So.
And surpassed him by a mile.
Yeah, and Al coming in as short a period as he did and really never got over the way you get a guy over. If they had Al get guys over, or guys get Al over like Goldberg, it might have been a different thing.
Did you see some of the magic tricks and the voice stuff and the going to steal a woman from the crowd and he's going to hide and then poof, she's gone and he disappears and they laugh and Sting has to, you know, act that he's upset. Did you see all this stuff? Like, what was your reaction to it?
Yeah, I thought it was bogus.
Pretty corny. Even as a kid, I'm like, this is kind of like hokey corny for freaking WCW. What are they doing?
Yeah.
It felt like they were almost trying to steal a page out of the WWF book a little bit with some of the stuff, too. Sports entertainment stuff.
Yeah. And later on, the Black Midnight Rider beat Ric Flair, and I came up with the idea that I went to Gaggle and said, yeah, you can have a champion that has a mask on, but he has to tell the president who he is and show who he is. So that continued the Flair Dusty rivalry.
Oh, yeah. It's just one of those things where you look at the Black Scorpion, it's like, okay, it's Al Perez is, you know, like a fart in church. I mean, that stinks. It's like, are they teasing Ultimate Warrior? Because Warrior's in WWF and he's the champion. So it's not Warrior, but you keep saying it's somebody from Sting's past. And then it's like, he keeps it going for three more months after Al Perez is fired. And like, he doesn't really have an end game. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not sound booking.
It was not sound booking at all. I think that they thought that Al would put Rick over and then ultimately maybe drop it to Sting and then Sting and Flair, but he didn't want to put him over in his hometown.
And Al Perez.
I don't think Ole understood that.
So in Ole's mind, Al Perez was going to be like a future main eventer for WCW for years to come, in Ole's mind.
Yeah, and I also think that he was doing this maybe as a transitional champion. You know what I mean?
Yep. To me, it's memorable, but not in a good way as far as the Black Scorpion. And that voice, what the hell was Ole doing with that voice?
Trying out for Darth Vader.
Oh man, seems like it. Yeah. But as far as the pay-per-view is concerned, let's get to some results. A lot of matches because of the tournament. Quickly though, do you like Starkey doing gimmicky stuff? Because you did a tournament, round robin tournament the year before. Then this year we're doing a tag team tournament. The year after there's a Battle Bowl. The year after that there's a Battle Bowl. Do you like this and not a traditional Starcade?
They were also doing this for the house. Pat had drawn money. He had been one of the foremost NWA champions. He had beaten everybody. People were in that part of the country. And before that, Pat was one of the early stars on TV in the 50s. And like I said before, world champion. Went all over North America defending the belt. Intricate part of New York when New York was in the NWA company. The Madison Square Garden, and it was over because they used ethnic guys there. Yep. And Pat was Irish, and a lot of Irish came to see him. So I could see how Ole's plan was that. Meaning Ole having a tournament named after Pat, and they were trying to boost the town because Pat was still wrestling in his 50s and going over in St. Louis. And very rarely did he wrestle in Kansas City. But he was always either in the main event or on the summer main event in Kansas City. I mean, he wrestled Holly in Kansas City, he wrestled Rick, he wrestled Briscoe. So in Kansas City, he was really over.
So first up, we have beautiful Bobby Eaton defeating the Z-Man in about 8 minutes and 45 seconds. Good match to kick this off. I'm not sure if it's necessarily Starcade pay-per-view worthy because the Z-Man wasn't really kind of anything at this point. But what do you think about Z-Man taking the loss to beautiful Bobby here in 1990?
Was there a better worker than Bobby Eaton?
No, the best.
Okay. So I think that was the decision made. And Ole didn't really like Z-Man for some reason.
Tom Zink, what did you think about him?
I liked Tom, but he had a unique personality. He could be abrasive at times. I could see how Ole and him could clash if it was me. I would have came up with a finish to put the younger guy over, but Bobby being Bobby and the great work he was, I think they came to a unanimous decision to put Bobby over.
Next up, we have the Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott, of course, a part of the tournament. This would be the quarterfinal. They are Team USA. They're going to defeat Sergeant Kruger and Colonel de Klerk of South Africa in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. The interesting thing here, I guess, is that Colonel de Klerk is actually Ted Petty, Rocco Rock. He's not actually from South Africa. So the South African team takes the loss. I love when they do that, right? I mean, it's like silly. He's like Ted Petty's a South African all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, the other guy, right? He's from South Africa, but he had been in Portland for years, you know, and he had been a mainstay in Portland. He had been in the magazines, which back, people forget, the magazines were very important back then. They got a lot of publicity. So, like you said, it was a strange way to have guys from as South Africans. You could have brought in I hate to bring him in this way, but do you know at one time Vader was world champion in four different countries? It was in Mexico and Germany and England, and then eventually in the United States.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So he could have came from South Africa. You know, he could have shown his wares, and they could have brought in somebody that maybe people didn't know that much about, you know, and announced them coming out with a world championship belt on them, you know. And you could have made Vader look very good. They could have had a good match. And they could have slipped over. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Ed Wiskowski. They could have done something quick with beating Ed.
Colonel De Beers, yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, Rey Mysterio Sr. and Conan, yes, that Conan, from Mexico, defeated Norman Smiley and Chris Adams from the United Kingdom, 5 minutes and 30 seconds in this quarterfinal match to advance in the tournament. Rey Mysterio Sr. and Conan in WCW 1990. I'm pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, Rey Mysterio Sr. was a huge star in Mexico. I mean, Rey carried on the name immaculately. I mean, Rey Sr. was really over Mexico, and Conan was too. I think, looking back, only didn't see the foresight, I don't think, of the Latin audience.
No, definitely not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then Japan, quite a good team here. Mr. Saito and the Great Muta defeating the royal family of Rip Morgan and Jack Victory, who were from New Zealand. The match went 5 minutes and 40 seconds. Of course, like I mentioned, Saito and Great Muta get the win. Pretty good team there for Japan.
Excellent team. I mean, excellent team. I mean, Saito, to me, he went to the Olympics. Was he a bronze medal winner? If not, he was fourth. I mean, everywhere he went, he drew money. So I think these guys could have been the dark horses in the match. They could have gone on further than they did.
But because of the tournament, they got eight teams, there's so many matches in the card, they kind of got to make all the matches short, which stink to some certain extent, for sure.
Right, right.
Then we have the Russian team, the Soviet Union team of Viktor Zangiev and Salman Hashimakov, who actually, by the way, Solomon, former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, because he's a legit Olympic wrestler and a legendary Soviet Union Russian wrestler. They defeat Troy Montour and Danny Johnson from Canada. That match went 3 minutes and 55 seconds. Of course, the Soviet Union got the win with Solomon and Zangiev.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it almost looks like we're throwing matches out there, doesn't it?
Yes.
It wasn't what I would envision for a Pat O'Connor Memorial title for the trophy. Just didn't make sense to me.
So then we have a random match just thrown in there. Not really random as far as if they did have a storyline, but it was thrown in the midst of the tag team tournament. The sixth match of the night was between Terry Taylor and Michael Wall Street. Michael Wall Street with Alexander York defeated Terry Taylor in about 7 minutes. Good match here. We almost wish these two had more time because, hell, they're both great workers. But the stock market crash from Michael Wall Street gets the win over Terry Taylor in this one.
Yeah, again, this is one of those things where I don't think, and I'm not trying to knock Ole, but it just didn't have the pizzazz. I don't think that, you know, you could have had... Could you imagine if they brought in Inoki?
Oh, yeah.
And Muda, the young rising star. I mean, maybe Muda didn't want to do the job. Maybe that him not winning the title of going further to the finals, which would have really cemented our deal. We were trying to make the deal, and later on we made the deal with Eric. You know, it would have made the deal a lot smoother if Muda had gone to the finals, I think.
So the next match up is the Skyscrapers, Sid Vicious and Danny Spivey, defeating the Big Cat, which is, of course, eventually going to be Mr. Hughes later on down the road, and the Motor City Madman. The match only went about 1 minute or so, just kind of a short little squash match for the Skyscrapers of Sid and Spivey, I guess, just to look strong and get those big boys over and looking good. Don't necessarily know if you need that in a pay-per-view, though, where you're trying to get more time. Like, I don't know if you necessarily need to throw in some of these matches that he threw in here.
You know, again, I'm not trying to knock Ole, but I don't think he saw the foresight of... He thought there was wrestling just in America. He beat the Latino team, then he beats the Mexican team. To me, it just didn't make sense.
Then next up, not a tournament match either, we have Tommy Rich and Ricky Morton with Robert Gibson, who was injured at this point, defeated the Fabulous Freebirds of Michael Hayes and Jimmy Jam Garvin with little Richard Marley, who, of course, was Rocky King. The match went about 6 minutes and 15 seconds. Not really a great match or anything to write home about here. Just kind of just another match on the card, if you will. Nothing really stands out from it.
Right. Like I said, wouldn't you rather have seen Vader beat somebody up?
And, oh, hell yeah, definitely.
And then called the Bears loose on a slip. The Mexican team going over. Just to me, it was almost like, let's get this out of the way until the main event, which didn't seem to sit well with a lot of people. I mean, if you paid to see an international soccer, and I'm not a big soccer fan, but if you see what they do in the soccer stadiums when they have the World Cup, I mean, it just, to me, just didn't make sense. And again, I'm not knocking Ole's booking. I'm knocking his knowledge of sports all over the world.
Then we have the tournament semifinal match. The first one, the Steiner brothers defeated Rey Mysterio and Conan in 3 minutes. And then after that, the other semifinal, Mr. Saito and the Great Muta defeated Zangief and Salman Hashmakov in 3 minutes as well. So two short semifinal matches back to back here with the Steiners and Great Muta and Saito going over. So we're going to have in the finals eventually later on the night, USA versus Japan, the Steiners versus Muta and Saito. So I guess two of the two teams you thought would be in the finals are in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what you and I said before. It almost reminded me of the 50s wrestling. The Japanese were villains.
Right, yeah. Yep.
The Germans were villains.
Yep.
Just didn't, to me, make sense.
And if you're going to do this international tournament and you're going to bring these guys in, they should get a better showcase and they should have longer matches. So that's why I think you should cut out some of the other matches, and just because there's 14 matches in the card, that means that a lot of them are going to be super short.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. And we could have made it a very interesting storyline with the guys they had coming in and cutting the matches down so loosely that didn't really work for, it didn't set up this thing, Black Scorpio match. I mean, those guys work their ass off, and then the voice, it just, to me, didn't sit right to me. That was, to me, a lot of people must have loved it, but I wasn't one of them.
Next up, Lex Luger defeating Stan Hansen to win back the NWA United States Championship. Pretty good match was about 10 minutes and 15 seconds. Interesting to note, though, this is a Texas Lariat match, which means that, you know, they got the rope and you got to touch all four corners to win. There was some kind of mystery at the end because there's two refs, and Hansen thought he won, but the original ref declares that Lex Luger is the winner. But Hansen and Luger, pretty good chemistry. And they had a good match at Halloween Havoc that year as well, where Hansen beat Luger for the U.S. title. So good stuff with Hansen and Luger here. Obviously, Hansen can't hold the title for too long, or they can't do too much with him. He's headed back to Japan, where he lives and where he dominates over there.
Yeah, and the other thing was, you got to remember the metal plate, supposedly, in Luger's was that before the accident or after?
This is before that.
Okay. So, kudos to Luger. You know, Luger doesn't get his due.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why.
It was the changing of the guards of the Muscle Men versus Snow is in great shape physically. And, you know, he had that reputation, especially from the magazines, how over he was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Look like $1 million for sure. The next matchup, Doom, Ron Simmons and Butch Reed with Teddy Long defending their NWA World Tag Team titles against Four Horsemen Barry Windham and Arn Anderson. This match ended in a double pinfall, so it's a draw. And this street fight went about 7 minutes and 20 seconds. Pretty damn good match, but a non-finish. So the feud will continue, if you will, with these guys.
Yeah. Again, this is a tournament match.
No, not a tournament match. This is for the NWA tag title. It's outside of the tournament.
That's right. Sorry about that. Why couldn't Stan have kept the belt a little bit longer to show the Japanese we really wanted to work with them badly?
Right, yeah.
You know,
do you like, as far as Doom is concerned with Arn and Barrett, do you like Doom not getting a clean win over them, or do you think that the draw is okay because you want to continue the feud and kind of keep drawing it out?
Well, there's two ways to think about it. You don't want a draw in a tournament, I don't think. I mean, this is the prestigious title, the Pat O'Connor title.
Oh, no, this isn't a tournament match.
I'm sorry. But what I meant to say, this is the deal where he's going to get the belt back eventually. If he got the belt, then it shows that we really want to work with them, and it really would have helped Hansen having the U.S. belt in Japan, because he was going to Japan. If he went to Japan with the belt on him, it would have really skyrocketed and showed that we really wanted to do business with them.
Now, next up is the tag team tournament finals for the Pat O'Connor Cup. The Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott, Team USA, defeated Great Muta and Mr. Saito in about 11 minutes. Pretty damn good match here. Maybe predictably so, but well-deserved. Scott Steiner and Rick Steiner win the Pat O'Connor Memorial Cup tag team tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you can't knock it, but sometimes you got to look down the line a lot further. Like the Cody Roman Reigns. They got more out of that, and they're still getting more out of that. When Cody didn't win, when everybody thought he should have.
Right.
It would have been the end of the bloodline. It would change the whole situation between the bloodline, and look at the guys that got over since then. The booking would have been completely different.
Yep.
So sometimes you have to look further down the line than just tonight.
True. Yep. Next up, the main event of the evening, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship match, and it's going to be in a steel cage, and Dick the Bruiser is the special guest referee. If the Black Scorpion won, obviously he's the champion. If Sting wins, the Black Scorpion must unmask and reveal whose identity it was, who we quote-unquote didn't know, because the real Black Scorpion was going to be Sting's opponent tonight. The other Black Scorpions that Sting had wrestled and encountered beforehand were quote-unquote his messengers. Do you like that?
No. No, it was like a farce. It wasn't like it was a solid direction to go for. And again, I keep on going back to the Japanese, right? We have the Japanese guy in Flair. Why? That's my question. It's just why.
And the thing is, too, the Black Scorpion, when he comes out in like this kind of spaceship thing. So it's really, really cheesy. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And it ends up being Flair. So it's like, wait a second. Why would Flair ever agree to this?
Yeah. You see him now with the platinum chains and the outlandish suits he wears now. That wasn't Ric Flair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of heat there was with Rick and only at the time.
So when we see Black Scorpion and it's friggin' Flair in this weird black outfit with the mask, I mean, it's so obvious it's Flair. It's ridiculous, but it's just crazy that they kind of forced Flair into this role. We knew something was up when Wyndham replaced Flair in the match against Doom earlier because Flair was supposed to be in there. So Sting ends up retaining the title. The match goes 18 minutes and 30 seconds. Sting wins with the crossbody off the cage onto Flair or onto the Black Scorpion. He wins. After the match, Arn Anderson and Barry Windham attack, and then we have Flair revealing himself as the Black Scorpion, which is why Arn and Windham attack. Just, I don't know, just came off a pretty lame. I mean, it obviously would continue the Ric Flair Sting feud, and we were talking about how Flair ends up winning the title January 11th, 1991, only, you know, about a month later. So it would continue the Flair Sting feud. But what do you think about this? Flair reveals himself as the Black Scorpion. Lame or what?
Could you imagine what kind of deal? We end up getting $1 million a year from the Japanese. Could you imagine what kind of deal we would have made if Hansen kept the U.S. belt, went back to Japan with it, and we had some other opponent in there against Rick, you know what I mean? If we had a Japanese, a Muda, the rising guy, to show that, to show our bond with the Japanese, that we could have done more with them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And yeah, the thing is here with Sting and Flair, they would continue their feud to get a great Wrestle War, a War Games match in 1991 as well, with Sting's team of Sting, the Steiner Brothers, and Brian Pillman against the Four Horsemen, Flair, Arn, Windham, and Sid. So pretty good stuff as far as like what you're going to get down the pike, and even Sting and Nikita Koloff, their little mini feud. But then Flair obviously has his issues with Jim Herd, and he leaves the WWF. But rewinding back here, what do you think of this pay-per-view? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle? Are you liking the Black Scorpion? Is that, or does that kill it for you?
It kills it for me. We false promoted the whole thing, I thought. What's your take on it?
Definitely false promotion. Definitely was not intended to be Flair at all. You know what I mean? It just didn't make sense. It just didn't fit. It just felt like, what the hell? We needed somebody with a name. We needed to go to Old Faithful. And instead of just scrapping the whole thing like they probably should have, they made it Flair. And it was just so pretty, you know, so obvious it was him under the mask, but it came off really lame.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. And I think, again, looking down the road, we could have got a better deal with the Japanese and got to use them quite in a different light. We could have had international tournament between the Japanese you know, like we talk about baseball, four out of seven. I mean, we could have done so much more doing it the way I think I'm talking the right way. Sometimes business and the Japanese businesses, you have a meeting to have a meeting. You have to be sure. The Japanese culture is very different than ours. They have meetings to have a meeting. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And you when they give you their card, right? This is my card. You're supposed to study that card. You look it, turn it over. Wow, it's a gift, Christmas gift. Wow, look at this. You know, wow, oh, very good, very good. I mean, only treated them all. I think at this point, he wanted to just get this thing through and get it over with. Because I think he knew he made some bad decisions on this one. And this is not a knock on Ole. There's been plenty of mistakes we all make. And I think this was one of them. That we all make them. I make them, you make them, we all make them. Let's go up to. You got a chance to get on a local, not a local, a national TV product, and you have guys snorting coke with hookers and drinking at the end of the show. Now, what to talk about?
Oh yeah, and as far as the Black Scorpion. Might go down as one of the worst ideas, gimmicks of all time, I think.
Yeah, I think that Ole was trying to reinvent himself when he was so good at one time. He was booking Atlanta and Charlotte at the same time. And he did a remarkable job booking both those territories at the same time. You go back and look, both those territories were doing incredible business. It was almost like he wanted to show that it could change up, I think.
And he did not do it very well, to be honest. I mean, just swing and a miss, big time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Kevin, what's going on in your world?
Well, I just got back. There's going to be the $7 promotion is going to come back on Vice TV. I can't tell you right now what it's going to be about, but you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be very controversial. It's something that's going to re-excite the people about the past and about their memory. And I think it will be very good. And again, that book I talked to you about, the L.A. Taylor book. It's so close to how the Japanese became so powerful, how we became so powerful in this country by using the same methods that the Japanese did at the very beginning of pro wrestling in Japan.
And thank you, Kevin. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.